we are grateful to have our guest speaker today. So please help me welcome Phyllis Wise, who will be talking on racism to gracism.
Oh, God bless Glenda at the beach with her children, right?
Yeah.
How beautiful an opportunity she has to bring them from so far and spend the time that they can together as a family. I'm a little bit in a strange body today, so if you'll bear with me. I particularly was moved by the Science of Mind reading today, because I thought, well, that just does it. That was my talk, right? And then all the affirmations we did on the PowerPoint, that was the other part of my talk. So I'm enjoying singing so much today that we could just stand here and just sing about it the rest of the day. So good morning, everyone, and always thank you for having me come over. The ride over is always such a joy because I get to come up 231 and look in all those funky signs of things for sale in Alabama, which only Alabama has, I'm telling you. And I always think, well, maybe I should get a bonsai, or maybe I should get some peanuts. It's going in, it's going in. I go, no, another time, another time. So I was thinking about this talk because it's a bit technical. And I read the notes from home office and went to sleep. They were so boring that I thought, you know, I cannot stand up and give statistics and long facts. We know what racism is. We are seeing it alive and well all over the world. And I have not only Desi is my sister, but I have other brothers and sisters that are black, and I was in yoga with 20 years ago in Tallahassee, and we're still very, very close. And my husband and I have gone camping with them, we've gone walking with them, and I have seen reactions from people of my race to them, and I was appalled on a personal level and hurt very, very deeply for them. But they have a shield up because they're spiritual people, and they say, don't let it bother you, we're used to it, and we will deal with it. But it would just cripple me how mean people can be, how prejudiced they can be. And I recognize it. It is everywhere. And y'all recognize it. You see it. We're into the movement of Black Lives Matter, and I've got a personal family standing on one side going, well, cops matter too. I cannot post anything on Facebook. I see what is going on, how people are clashing to hold to their old beliefs, which many of them and many families I know do not believe any longer. And I particularly want to talk about that today. How we can bridge these old patterns and move into the grace, the free-flowing Spirit of God, find that bridge, because those moments are available every single day. I went to have my hair cut, and I walked in, I gotta have a haircut, going to speak, it was all bushy and crazy, and I said, where should I go, it's Saturday, who's gonna be open? So all these blocks are coming up, and I'm thinking, you know, Spirit, I'm gonna get in my car, and I'm gonna head this way, and you just tell me where and when. So I go into a salon that has students and professional hairdressers, and I go, is this it? Nothing. Is this it? I'm here. Okay, I'm gonna try this. I step in and the young girl says, can I help you? Yes, I'd like my hair cut short, like a pixie cut. Do you have anybody here that can do that? Well, all of our hairdressers are excellent pixie cutters. Every one of them know all about that. They're all very good. I go, really? Because I've noticed living in a college town that most of the girls all have long hair and you just trim it. Really, you have somebody that knows how to do that? All of them are very good. Now we have them starting at $20, going to $40. Which would you like? I said, well, if they're all the same and they're all good, I'll start with the 20. So he says, okay, I got one for you. You go sit over there. So I'm sitting over there, and this gorgeous black woman walks up to me with dreadlocks in all colors and says, are you Phyllis? And I'm thinking, you can't be my hairdresser. What could you possibly know about white hair that's white and dry and me. And she just looked at me, and I knew she could read it. So my bias is popping up right there. And I'm so afraid, because I've had so many bad haircuts and so many good ones. And so I'm like walking back to the seat with her, and she's just beautiful and glowing. And she begins to talk to me, and the spirit opens up, and we start communing. And it was nothing about the hairdo. She was very good. This is the haircut. She knew what she was doing. But more importantly, what happened was the bridge that moved me into the grace of God yesterday was an absolute demonstration that it's possible. Because she shared with me some of her deepest truths, and one of them was the voice of God speaking to me. And she said, my life changed when I stopped worrying about things and I started predicting the worst that could happen because I'm a mother of two children. And when I stopped trying to control and predict and have all this angst and I just let go of that, my whole life changed. And now my son listens to me and to my wisdom. He's an engineer. He just graduated from college. And my young daughter listens to me. She's on her way to that school. And I'm looking at this woman, what an amazing person you are. This obviously has nothing to do with your race. You are an amazing mother. She spent so much time with me opening her heart about what was important. So then we got our rap going on back and forth of what we knew to be the truth of spirit. And we were right there together. And when I was riding over here today, I thought, you know, that's just the way it works. If we can seize the moment that opens itself up for us and see right then we can challenge our beliefs and we can examine what we're thinking and why we're thinking it, we have an opportunity, as all those affirmations and the Science of Mind reading today said, to become that larger concept full of the love of God as an expression on this planet, which is our work anyway. There's no running from it. It's always there, but we will never know until we self-examine. And I thought, now why did I think that when I got home? Why did I think that? Well, it's just some bias, some old bias, and it just shattered just like that. So racism cannot really be fully explained as an expression of prejudice alone. It includes a system involving cultural messages, which we all have received, as well as institutional policies from places we've worked and practices there, as well as the beliefs and the actions of individuals. So I learned a lot in my family, which I didn't agree with, but those messages were laid down when I left my original father and went with my stepfather. He was very closed, very fearful, still is. And I have done so much work over 40 years just trying to penetrate to get to him, but it doesn't work. I had to go within and do my own work to accept him where he was. And he's still in the same place he was 50, 60, 70 years ago. He's 90 and he's still angry and confused. So our work is on the individual basis. We're gonna hear it, we're gonna hear it outside. And if anybody challenges you at any time, take that as a sign that maybe in your private moment, you can go and look. Because I know as New Thought people, we all think that we're not prejudiced or we're not biased or there's no hint of racism. But I had a friend once who told me when I said, oh, I'm not racist. He said, Phyllis, we've all got a bit of racism. All races do. And he was a race relations teacher in the Army. So we're all living close together. We know that we're all one. So why wouldn't we want to improve the condition for all of us? Because what's good for you is good for me. When you're happy, I'm happy. In my home, you know the old saying, when mama ain't happy, nobody's happy. That's that closeness in a family, that she's kind of the one that's given the love. And if she's not giving it, everybody can feel it. My animals at home feel it. They stare at me when something's wrong. They just stare like, what's going on? What's going on? And I've got six eyes staring at me. And I'm like trying to hide it. And they're following me around. What's going on? What's going on today? If I'm off or if I'm thinking of something contrary to my God nature, they immediately signal me. And, of course, then I have a husband who has no problem. And he is, y'all haven't met him, but he is so gentle and sweet. And God sent me him as a teacher. And sometimes we will be somewhere and something will shoot out of my mouth. And he'll turn to me and say, I can't believe you said that. And I'll go, I can't believe it either. I don't know where it came from. But as we start to tear out the old and be present in the moment and begin to build our future from what we know now, those old are going to come up. And it's not shameful. It's wonderful that we can see it and have an opportunity. You know, I have no shame, first of all. I've lived a full out life and lots of stuff has gone in that today I wouldn't even think of. But a lot of stuff went in on that subjective level, and when you hear things, your subjective mind takes it as a seed, no matter what it is, positive or negative, and it plants it just like that. You can either act or react on it, but I'm in the garden now. I am pulling out those things that no longer serve me and making room for what is God consciousness to grow, to have better roots, and to express more fully. So with this job, it's like, it's not hard, but it takes a present moment awareness. When you hear something from somebody else, it's okay to say, do I carry that belief? Do I feel like that somewhere deep inside of me? Do I believe that about that group of people? Do I believe somebody is less than I am? Do I believe I'm more advanced than somebody else or no more than anything else? Because we know by the affirmations that the one God that lives in every single one of us just waits on our initiation to show itself more, to show itself more. It's not coming from out there. It's in here. And if we make more room by opening the heart and considering that maybe we've got some dishes piled up over there we need to clean out and get rid of, then Spirit just comes in and does a beautiful job. That tiny little example I gave you about my haircut was a perfect example of how subtle, but yet how beautiful it operates. And then it connected me and her. Connected us on a very high level. So the story that came through the notes from home office is the story of John Newton. And I have to tell you a funny story. When the notes came through, it said Isaac Newton. And Glenda immediately texted me, it's not Isaac Newton. Don't say that from the platform. They'll think you don't know what you're talking about. It was so funny. I'm so glad I opened my email that day. So I went back and read the story of John Newton, the merchant in the early 1700s, who his father was a commander on a ship. So his mother was his biblical teacher until he was four. She died when he was seven. By the time he was 11, he was put out to sea to work on a ship. But he was really rowdy and he was really out of control, probably for obvious reasons, nobody there to raise him. And so he was kicked off of a lot of ships. And he himself, by admittance, said, man, I had a high hand for abusing people with no regard to my seductions and whatever else went on back then on those ships. So he was fired many times, let go off of these ships. And then he went to work for a lemon tree plantation off the west coast of Africa. And it was hard work. And they kind of treated him like he had treated the slaves. And so he didn't have clothes. He was in rags. He had to beg for food. It was horrible. So then finally, he was able to find another ship. And on that ship, and they don't say if it's a slave ship or not, but I know he worked on many slave ships. On that ship, there was a terrible storm, And he remembered a scripture his mother had read him about God saying, so many times I've called you and you haven't responded or answered, so whatever your situation is, I laugh at your folly. And so I guess that means the circumstances you put yourself in when you're not listening to Spirit, when you're not in integrity, when you're not in your center. I mean, God's not going, oh, ha, 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 but it is, you know, divine consciousness is not embracing that, certainly. It's there, but it's not fulfilled by it. So this terrible storm, he thought he was going to die, and he remembered that scripture that his mother had read him, and he started thinking, there is a power greater than I am, and it's in this storm, and it might take me tonight. And he got very terrified. And that's when he made his conversion to opening up to Spirit. There's a power greater than I am. Those are his words. And so when he came off that journey, the story goes that he was never worked with slaves again, but that's not true. The backstory is he did work on slave ships, but he changed the way he treated the men and women and children on those ships. He changed that. So that was his first step in connecting with his greater self. He didn't all of a sudden become this wonderful person, but he started taking steps as he saw there was a bigger, broader way, and he let love in, and then eventually he became a minister, and he wrote the hymn Amazing Grace. So when that song, the line, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, wretch was a perfect word for John Newton where he was right then. In his own words, I was a mess. And I think that we all probably have a history of some messes, but those messes are just dissolved in the love of God. They're just completely, once you let go and you take that little first step to say, I don't want this attitude anymore, I don't want this belief anymore, help me to dissolve those things that are within my consciousness, body, mind, and spirit. Now, creating a positive change. Are any of y'all familiar with Neville Goddard?
Yes.
He goes by the name Neville. He is a wonderful writer, and he died in, I think, 1973. He was from Barbados. He was a New Thought teacher. He was well thought of around the world. He's written about 10 books. And this is a quote from his The Neville Reader. He uses the word dream, just like Martin Luther King did. He says, when you have a dream, that's the beginning of the creative process of where you want to be. Whenever we dream things as they ought to be, rather than as they seem to be, is the moment. For in that moment, the spiritual man's work is done. And the great events of time, things are starting to change, start forth to mold a world in harmony with that moment's altered pattern. So when you dream or imagine or vision a better life for yourself, a better world for our world, a better anything, a more godly, centered, loving whatever, the right car, the right husband, the right job. When you start that dream in action, it begins to alter who you are. And when you think about all those subjective levels that you have taken in things you don't even know about that can pop out of your mouth or that can show up in the way you treat someone. And I know New Thoughters are sweet and loving and all that, but we've got this stuff stacked down in there and it really needs to come out. And just like that, it'll come out. Just like that, it'll disappear. Once you see it, I love Dr. Phil. He says you can't change what you don't recognize. So I look to recognize it without condemnation on myself, but just to look at it and say, oh, that's not who I am anymore. This moment, this dream, is where creating from thoughtful connection with the true self which is in the likeness of God, creates. The true self begins to create that which Creator has asked from all of us all along. Know me. Know me more deeply. It'll be good for you, I promise. It will help you. It's different. Creating from a dream, is having your own vision, is very different than reacting. And think about the reactors. They're in my family, God bless them. Creating the negative is what reactors do. The reactor never acts, he only reacts. The part I read to you before by the dream, that's an action. You're taking an action. You're creating a visualization, a world. You're connecting with others that have created that vision, that greater yet to be. That's acting. But reacting is not creating. It's only a messed up negative energy. It is a reaction to the happenings of the day and leaving God out of the process. It is an emotional. There are two choices, man, acting from his natural God self-consciousness, that's what's within us, or man as reactor, never acting or creating, but only reacting and recreating. And when we do that, what we're doing is we're bringing the past forward into the moment and setting it as the pattern for the future. When you're reacting, you're doing that. When you're creating, you're in the moment now, and it is set, it is clear, it can never go away. Your word is powerful, your thoughts, your mind, all of this energy is going out and connecting up. We don't want to recreate the past and bring it forward. We want to imagine and dream and envision the present moment. We want to bring the highest and the best from our spiritual consciousness to build our future. So in Corinthians, it says, behold, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of your salvation. We don't use the word salvation too much, but you know what it means. It means to rescue you from the past. Take this moment now and renew. Save yourself from dragging the past with you. I've got a big past. We all do. Just think about it. It's all through eternity. We're dragging all of the reactions and emotions and patterns of our relatives along with us. And when we make that change, that spark of God goes backwards and forwards. And oh my God, what a beautiful thing. And that is grace. That is grace. It's divine action in motion, present for you when you open and let it be. Just let it be part of your life. It's flowing freely. Grace is divine action flowing freely without the conflict of self-will. That's a big statement. Divine action flowing freely without the conflict of self-will. Jesus said, if you but empty yourself, I will fill you. He knew how. He was a great pattern. He was a great pattern for all of us. And there are many teachers and gurus that also are great patterns. I just personally like Jesus because I've studied him more. I can understand it. It's in English. And I get what he's saying separate from the beating over the head and the sinner and all of that stuff. I just hear him so clearly. And sometimes I just like, gosh, how did you do it? You were so clear. You went through so much, and you just kept showing us, laying down this pattern that we have access to now, him and many others, like I said. So we want to embrace this positive, God-centered openness without fear and without prejudice. So I have a beautiful poem here I want to end with by Angelou Mayo. Y'all know who she is, right? What a woman. but it's written real tiny. There are? She is so good.
Maya Angelou,
yeah. Thank you. Oh, these work. Okay, imagine her. Desi, ought to have you come up here and read this, because you kind of have that Maya voice. So listen to these words carefully. We, this people on a small and lonely planet, traveling through casual space, past aloof stars across the way of indifferent suns, to a destination where all signs tell us it is possible and imperative that we learn a brave and startling truth. And when we come to it, to the day of peacemaking, when we release our fingers from fists of hostility and allow the pure air to cool our palms, we, this people on a small and drifting planet whose hands can strike with such abandon that in a twinkling, life is sapped from the living, yet those same hands can touch with such healing, irresistible tenderness, that the haughty neck is happy to bow and the proud back is glad to bend. Out of such chaos, of such contradiction, we learn that we are neither devils nor divines. When we come to it, we, this people, on this wayward floating body, created on this earth, of this earth, have the power to fashion for this earth a climate where every man and every woman can live freely without sanctimonious pity and without crippling fear. When we come to it, we must confess that we are the possible. We are the miraculous, the true wonder of this world. That is when and only when we come to it, when we realize this. And so it is. So our prayer now for just a moment is as we breathe in this miraculous moment that is ours now. We claim it, we tenderly embrace it, not only for ourselves, but for all others, all of their living beings on this planet, all of them. The humans, the other animals, the rocks, the trees, the plants, the air. We claim a flow of divine love for all of God's creation. And we stand ready to be that open vessel, to be that willing channel, to let the divine love continue to do its job of cleaning us, renewing us, and opening us to greater dreams yet to be. And so we give thanks for this union with the divine that we all hold all the time, but we now awaken to it more precisely when we see the moment afforded us every day. Thank you for each person here, for each life represented, for the beauty within all the faces that I see, and those that aren't here. We just extend our gracious love out to them. We say this knowing, we agree on this knowing, that there is nothing but one God and one love. And so it is. Was I supposed to be praying for the offering?
No.
Okay.